No, we have our yearly assembly, and we are going to be doing something a little different. I'll be reading from Isaiah 65 and verses 17 to 25. In a sense, this is a prophetic passage. But I like to put it in context for us. But we are always, always looking back at who we were in order to understand who we are so that we can be all that we can be. You get it? You know, it's this. Yeah, it's not the army slogan, sorry, but you know what I'm talking about. We are seeking and searching for our identity in Christ, and it's good to go back and see what God has done through the ages, through the times, and look at our situation. And that's what sort of what we're going to do today. So when we read this passage, I would like for you to think of the things that are being talked about here. And of course, I say I wrote this way back in the year 400 or 500, or maybe before that, I don't remember. But it was a long time ago. And these words still connect with us today. So let's listen to the words of the Lord in Isaiah 65, 17. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. They or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. Wow. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food, shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Let us pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word, share your heart, and share, God, some of the thinking in our minds, and some of the things that we have seen you do, and some of the things that we think you're trying to do and accomplish in our midst. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit be the one that be inspiring us. I pray, God, that your self be the one that be in us, that we may, Lord, journey together with you. In Jesus' name we pray and give you glory and give you thanks. Amen. Amen. So we are going to do a little journey here, and I just want you to notice from this slide two things. Number one, that Mount Air Christian Church is a member of a greater church. We are part of a body of Christ called the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and that's reflected in the Central Rocky Mountain region which is the expression of us together. There's about 47, Georgine, 47 congregations all in this region that identify as disciples. And we are going to be doing some things to let it be known what the Christian church and the disciples of Christ are about, but that's not a matter of what we're going to be talking today. But I just want to make the point that this is who we are as an expression of the church. And the other thing that you see there is that there is an exciting journey that this church has engaged in through the years and is still continuing to engage in, and you are part of it. Hello, did you hear that? No? Oh, you heard that part, right?
Amen.
Yes. You're part of it. You're here, right? Glory to God for that. So today we're going to show you some slides. We're going to go through some history. The idea behind all this is for us to come together and to help the congregation to be most effective at what we're doing. We want to be an instrument for God. Amen? Okay, all right. Right? We want to be an instrument for God. We want to be that extension of what God is doing in His kingdom. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven for 3 months. Right? Right? So here we are. After all this time and all these themes and all these things that we've talked about, we still want to do what God wants us to do. And that means to live out that great commission. So we're going to look at the past, we're going to look at the present, we're going to look at the future. But first, we're going to see a little video clip. So we're going to turn the lights on off now so that you can see better.
Great flood is coming. The waters of the heavens will meet the waters of the earth. We build a vessel to survive the storm. We build an ark.
There's work to do. Help us.
Help you? We tried to help your kind once, and we lost everything because of you.
Not everything. We can save what is left. We can serve him again.
You treacherous snake.
We will help this man.
You can turn the lights on now. Okay. I just want to call you to your attention to a couple of things. You can see real quick with it. For those of you who saw the movie, Noah and Nayoka is like a fan, and I know, and I love it too. The first part of that scene is Noah putting a seed on the ground. A seed that was given to him by Methuselah. This is not biblical. Please, don't, let's not get on that. That's not the idea. But he received a seed, and it's supposed to be a seed out of the Garden of Eden. And then he plants that in the ground, and out of this seed comes this flow of river flowing and all this recreation. And I thought the scene would call our attention to a God that is always working. A God that is always creating. And as you know, the world, as is said in Genesis, was created out of nothing, and that process still going on. And I truly believe that God is creating something in us. He's doing something with us. And he's inviting us to partake of that part of creation. And I love the part of the I don't know how to call them, but those rock figures saying, no, we're not going to be helping this man. What is going on here? And all of a sudden, they see God at work again. And they say, okay, yes, let's do this, right? Let's do this together. And all of a sudden, there's an ark. So God is providing. God is providing the materials, the tools. God is providing things and people. Right?
Right.
And mostly we need people. And he has been doing this for a long time. And as you see there, our church, Mount Air Christian Church, started way back when, in the 20s. And it started with a group of about 30 people that decided to join together and start a Sunday school. And I think that's what it was called, Mount Air Sunday School first. And later in the 30s, it grew to about 170 people. And imagine that, going from gas lamps and coal fires to electricity, right? Changes. That came through the years, and people were there. And in the 40s, of course, we had World War II, and the membership in 1944. You see there, it says 142, and a few years later, there's the polio outbreak that was tearing through the nation, and in 1951, this building started to become a project and to be built. And in the meantime, from when it started to be built to 1953, when it was dedicated, there were 51 additions to membership. So if you look at the next slide, there's a dedication day, 1953. This building started operating. 289 folks in Bible school in 1954. And in 61, the mortgage was paid. I think they had a mortgage burning ceremony to celebrate that. 8 years to pay the mortgage on this place. And 1964, the educational wing, how do you call it? The wraparound, there you go. The wraparound, as it's commonly known, was added. In 1965, 20% of the budget was being given out to outreach throughout the community and entities and institutions. And in 1966, there were 27 Sunday school teachers, and I read some names that I said, what are you doing here? Gwen Ireland, Walt Staley, Mary Ann Staley, I'm sorry, that was the picture is on top of things here, but Arch Andre, I mean, he was here a couple of weeks ago, Harley Warren, you know Harley? I was flabbergasted. I said, look at these guys. They were here. They were here working. They were here doing. And there's a lot of you that were in their company. And please notice the saying from one of our pastors, John Henry Kane. I think you, yeah, you know him. Yeah. He's 6 degrees in separation. The measure of the church is determined by the commitment of our spiritual growth and development. Imagine that. It was themes like that that captured this congregation and continued to work in them. In 1973, there was a recovery ministry that was established here. 1977, 50 years since it chartered. And in the 1980s, we can notice the commitment of the congregation. Look at the theme. The theme of 1981 was committed people, meeting the needs of people. Committed people, meeting the needs of people. There were youth camps, ski outings. I wonder if we could do that again. I'd love to. There was a preschool in this site called the Hubby Horse. And there was a lady called Melinda. I don't know if she's here today, but you know her. Yeah. And I've seen her before. She had a puppet program back then. That's what I read. I'm not sure. But it was a children's program. The puppets, I've seen them because they're in this attic over here. And I've seen what that is about. In 1984, the mortgage for the wraparound, that educational wing, was paid off. And in the 80s, we started that Thanksgiving dinner that we're going to have in another couple of weeks. And there's a character called Monty the Mouse. I should have put it in there, but I'm sorry. that used to make appearances on the newsletters and so on. And there was a gentleman called Mike Devich, who became a licensed minister here. Yeah, I don't know if you know him, but he's sitting right over here. All right. And his wife, Jan Devich, 50-day spiritual adventure, a Bible study. There was a youth director that was hired here. In 1992, there was a Spanish service, a Bible study that met in the parlor. In the 90s, the prayer line was established also. In the 2000s, there were 5 different ministers that went through the church and some interns. And in 2009, the church had 165 members and 65 folks in the average attendance. And by the start of 2014, there were 187 members and 63 in average attendance. So what does that mean for us? What about this year? What about the present? Well, there was a lady called a lady pastor called Daphne Arias. Maybe some of you remember her. Daphne was here to start the year, and then somebody had—I don't know if it was a great idea or not—but somebody had the idea of calling a pastor from Puerto Rico, Ruben Rodriguez, and that's me, if you don't know. Pastor Ruben engaged in some ministry, just to get acquainted with what the ministry was around here. And, you know, worship preparations, there were weddings and funerals, home visits and hospital visits. Not enough, I've heard already, so I know there's a lot of improvement that we can do there. But there's a lot of mission service that has been done. Worked as within the church and in the local community. Mayor Murphy has created a Lakewood Clergy Council just to connect churches and around here to see how we can best engage with each other in mission. And this year during the summer, we also engaged with the vision team. We had this task force to create a set of values, to define a theme or a slogan that would help us in the present to move forward. And I'll talk a little bit more about that here. But also, this building is being used all throughout the week. There's a Messianic group, the Meals on Wheels, the Volunteers of America, Wiz Kids, which Chuck is a leader in it, the Kids Club, which I participate in. The Two Creeks Neighborhood Association uses this building. Mount Air, Sprout City Farms, the farm that is over here at the Mount Air Park. They use the building for their meetings, and they also donate stuff to our food pantry, the Knives Club. There's other neighborhood needs when people need it. They are coming to seek out. And there's also a lot of outreach that's happened this year. The Easter egg hunt, we had more than 60 kids come through here. The BBS touched 48 kids' lives through the mission team that came from Iglesia Cristiana del Norte. Halloween Harvest Carnival happened just a couple of weeks ago, and we had almost 100 kids and parents come through here. And let's not forget the food pantry and the clothes pantry. I'm going to tell you, and I'm very grateful for these two ladies, Nyoka and Joanne. They do an incredible work here as volunteers in this building to help and tend to these folks that come here with needs. Hallelujah. And they are a blessing for their lives. So we really want to thank them. And we've had some members join, and then Joanne and Joe, right, recently just joined the community here. And there's also been some connections done through the community. Again, I mentioned Mount Air Park, the Edgewater Collective, Joel Newton, who was the associate pastor here last year. Actually, he's going to be here next week to share and preach for our congregation for Sunday morning. And we've also had a Lakewood Church Network where local pastors get together and pray for each other's ministries. And this is not only disciples, pastors, it's Assemblies of God, Church of Christ, Presbyterians, Lutherans, coming together and praying that God may work through his church in Lakewood. We're also part of the regional expression, as I mentioned, of the church. And we are connecting with the region in projects that may convert later into mission field for us. One of them is called Explore, and it's a program to develop young leaders and what they can be for the church. And we are identifying some things in the church organization and the constitution and bylaws of the congregation as we look forward to see how that can help us to be more effective in mission. So, you know, what about the vision team? I spent some time working with this team, and it was difficult work. It was trying to grasp at the air and trying to come up with things that really connected with us. But eventually, we think we heard God saying to us, "This is what this church exists to do: to reach, to serve, to teach, and to serve." And with this theme, slogan, we hope to maximize the power of that theme as a shared vision, something that we all, whatever mission area, ministry area we're working on, that we all can connect with. that it's a shared understanding of things, and that we have shared accountability. And it's a reference point for the internal ministry that we do within the church, but also that we do for this community and the areas of engagement that we have seen. And there's different areas of connection for ministry internally. Visitation, again, that reach part. The study groups that are developing, study and prayer groups, that's the sort of the teach part, and also the involvement of our community with the community. And that's the serve part. And we have potential to engage also in Spanish ministries, which will involve all of these themes, to reach, to teach, and to serve. And there's been four areas of engagement that we have identified as places where we can work: education, family health and integrity, homelessness and the poor, which we're doing work already, and some of this dependence, you know, drugs, alcohol, unhealthy relationships. Those are the areas that we're going to try to focus in. So what does that mean then for us? Where's the motivation? How do we get involved in this process? Where's the energy? Where does that come from? I'm amazed to see folks that have been here forever and they're still connected with the church, still providing some of their love, their care, their gifting and their gifts. But what is it that really will make us an effective church? And there's this gentleman, his name is John Wesley. Some of you know him. He was the founder of Methodism. He says, "Catch on fire with enthusiasm and people will come for miles to watch you burn." I think that's a little dangerous, of course, but it sort of says something about the enthusiasm of folks that are involved in ministry, that are involved in a congregation. And to me, it is paramount for us to be connected. It is paramount for us to be enthusiastic about what is happening in our spiritual lives. And it is important for us to continually seek that personal transformation, that relationship with Christ. It's called discipleship, right? We are disciples when we're about discipleship, which means to learn, to follow, to talk about, to know the ways of this Jesus Christ that is mentioned throughout the year, the ages and the years. And we also recognize that this is not easy because we are in a spiritual battle. There are elements of evil that are at work around us that don't want for you to be effective, that don't want for you to be connected, that don't want for you to be an instrument of the glory of God in this world. And guess what? Jesus knew it. And Jesus said, "You know what? The devil came to steal, to kill, to take away, but I have come so that you may have abundant life." And you know, from last week's sermon, if you were here, you know that I'm all about that. Another thing that is important is for us to remember that ministry, I'm sorry, just go back for a little bit. Ministry is not something for the minister, right? Although it is important that the minister is engaged in ministry. But ministry is for everyone. It's for everyone that isn't connected with the church. And it starts at baptism. When we are baptized, we're saying, "God, we're yours. Here we are. Use us." So As I mentioned in the beginning, we want to open that conversation about what it means for us to be in ministry, to be connected with the Great Commission, and how do we help the congregation to be the most effective instrument possible for God. And that is the invitation for today. It's for us, for you and I, to engage in this process of discernment, of talking about, of taking these areas of engagement and seeing where is it that God is leading us, you, to participate in. And how do we do that? And how do we train? How do we teach the leadership and everybody to be connected with that? That's what we have ahead of us. That's what we're going to be working towards in the next year and probably next few years. But I just want to remind you that not only is God creating all the time and God is doing something around us all the time, but God has a plan for us. And I remember this verse in Jeremiah 29:11, "For surely I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope." And what an invitation for us. What a statement for us to have peace, to know that God is at work, to have peace, that to know that God has our back, and to engage and just let ourselves go and put ourselves in His hands. And that is the invitation to the adventure that we're in. So the journey is just continuing. It's not stopped. The journey is ongoing. You see those mountains down there? That's what I look at in the morning and say, "God, you're great. Thank you for giving us the mountains. Thank you for giving us a show of your presence." So let us pray. Lord, we are here. We are connected. We are engaged. We are listening. We are watching. We have seen what you have done in the past. We have seen the faithfulness of many that have come before us. And they are the ones that made this legacy possible, so that we become the stewards of what you're doing in your kingdom in this place. What a responsibility it is for us. But we take it on, God. We take it on not because we're experts. We take it on not because we are great. We take it on because you are great. We take it on because you are an expert. Because you have a plan. And you love us. And you choose to use us for that plan. So as we go and get ready to go to our meeting, to assembly meeting, and consider the leadership that we'll be working for next year, and think about these things, I pray, O Lord, that you may infuse us with your Spirit, that you may steep us in your Spirit, so that we may be hands and feet and mouth and eyes and ears for you in your kingdom in this world. Amen.